Good evening. Welcome to another edition of Football Extra Points on RF Sports Radio. Thanks for joining me tonight. I'm your host, Scott King, creator of footballextrapoints.com, part of the Yard Barker Network. On tonight's show, we're going to be diving into more of the off-season programs, talking about team moves, player cuts, and we're going to have a special guest on tonight, Stephen Burkett. He's going to be talking about his website, iDraft. And for those of us that are really into the draft and really enjoy the draft, I think this is going to be a chance to kind of go next level. So excited to talk to him tonight. If you want to join the conversation, you can call in anytime. The number is 323-927-2906. So we're going to jump right into it tonight and start talking about some more of the off-season stuff that's going to be coming up. Touched on it a little bit last week, and we'll really be hitting on all things related to the draft, free agency moves, team cuts here for the next several weeks as we move past the Super Bowl, get beyond the season, and really get into the point where these teams build championships. Obviously, the 16 weeks of the regular season is important, but if you lose during free agency, if you lose at the draft, you're not going anywhere. And all you have to do is look around the league and the teams that are consistently at the top and in the playoffs, they're winning these off seasons. You don't see many first-round busts in New England or Pittsburgh. These teams really win the off season. So some dates we've got coming up here to keep an eye out for, February 20th through the 26th is the big scouting combine there in Indianapolis. Very excited for that to get started. That's really a chance to dive into and see these players work out, hear how they do with the interview situation and get a chance to see them in action. I really like what the NFL Network has done with their coverage. I think it's really great for those of us that are deep into football, want to get as much coverage as we can. Gives us the chance to see some of these players and see what they're doing. Next big date after that's March 12th. That's the start of the league year. Free agency opens up. That's when we see the big movement, guys getting cut, and some of these big free agents getting picked up right off the bat on that first day. So that'll be an exciting time. Then obviously everything builds for us towards the draft, April 25th. In New York, so that'll be a big day. The Chiefs are on the clock officially now, so we'll wait and see what they're going to do. Some cuts have already started happening. As soon as we wrapped up the Super Bowl, teams started making some moves, and as a Lions fan, I'll go ahead and jump right on theirs. They cut Kyle VandenBosch, defensive end they brought over from Tennessee when Schwartz came to town. Veteran, good leader on the team. But, you know, one of the few strengths the Lions had was on their defensive front. VandenBosch getting up there in age, cap number probably wasn't the best. And they went ahead and cut him. Another cut they made was to Peterman, guard there on the line. And just kind of a sign of things to come. Detroit's had an aging line. You've got Raiola in the middle. And he's kind of getting up there in age. And the left tackle, I just lost his name. he's getting along there and needs to be moved on. So they made the move last year and picked up Riley Reiff out of Iowa. So we'll see where they go. But I think this year you're going to see a lot of changes on the offensive line. Kind of a big name out there. Most people know and fantasy players definitely know. Cut Ahmad Bradshaw. I personally owned him in my fantasy league last year, so I'm very familiar with his injury problems. I think he's been injured the last two or three years straight with a foot or something going on with his foot, a broken foot, a screw in his foot. So, you know, it's always interesting when these guys kind of get up there in age and especially at the running back position. So he's going to be on the market. Don't see him getting a huge response in free agency, but now that the NFL has moved to this 2-3-back system, there's definitely a spot for him somewhere where he can add some veteran leadership. And I just saw before it came on the air, not sure when it was made official, but the Bills cut linebacker Nick Barnett. So got some names moving around. One of the big names that we were looking to see if he was going to end up being cut was Michael Vick. And he was kind of the top name on the list for players that everyone expected to get cut. And he had made every indication that he was not going to be redoing his deal. And today, before we went on the air, sometime that afternoon, Vic went ahead and re-signed a deal. Looks like Andrew Brandt is reporting that that's a $3.5 million signing bonus with a couple of roster bonuses, some playing time bonuses, a Super Bowl bonus. So looks like he's restructured his deal, which is a good move for him. He doesn't want to go out on the free agent market with this last season on his resume. I think he's excited with Chip Kelly coming to town, giving him an opportunity to show what he can do, kind of showcase his mobility. So I think that'll be good. Good move for him, and then the Eagles will be moving on from him next year. Some other names to keep an eye out for that'll be heading out, I think, here going to be cut in the next few weeks is going to be Michael Turner. He moved to Atlanta several years ago, came in with some really explosive big years. But as all running backs do, they get wear on him pretty quick, and he's kind of worn out. He is still a bruising back, like I mentioned with Bradshaw. When you get guys in the three-back systems, you can get some carries out of them. So a team looking for kind of a bruiser in the backfield, he'll be able to help them out. Charles Woodson is another one to look for to be coming out on the market. He's an older corner. I know he's still playing there. Maybe somebody moves him to safety a little bit, see what he can do. And then another one to look out for is Carson Palmer out there in Oakland. Oakland, for whatever reason, mortgaged their future to get this guy, and he just really hasn't done much. They've got Terrell Pryor out there, and he showed some flash. I've rewatched the last game of the season for him a few weeks ago, and I was actually impressed for a guy who didn't play much, came into the league under some questionable circumstances, but he looked good throwing the ball. So I think maybe the success of RG3 and some of these running quarterbacks is going to give Oakland a chance to take a look at him. So that's kind of a look at the upcoming cuts. You're listening to Football Extra Points on RF Sports Radio. If you want to join the conversation, the number is 323-927-2906. And the next thing, group I wanted to jump into was some of the bigger name free agents. There's a lot of free agents out there. As you look at your teams, you'll see lists of guys that are unrestricted and restricted free agents. But some of the bigger names out there that caught my eye was obviously the quarterback for the Ravens, Joe Flacco. He took a gamble on himself, and he won big time. So he's technically a free agent. Baltimore's trying to wrap him up. I don't expect him to go anywhere, but it's interesting to keep an eye on it. You never know. But I would put it at about a 1% chance he ends up somewhere other than Baltimore. The running back situation so far, unless there's some more cuts, nothing really too exciting. Reggie Bush is out there, who really did a lot for his career, I think, in Miami to show that he can be a frontline running back. Couple of 1,000-yard season last year before, and then just short of 1,000 this year. So I think that was a good opportunity for him, and he showed he can carry a little bit more load than maybe people thought. I touched on Bradshaw and potentially Michael Turner, and Mendenhall's out there. Again, another one of these banged-up running backs, so it seems to be the case you're going to get some of these guys with some wear on them. Wide receiver situation, a little more interesting. Dwayne Bowe, Mike Wallace, Greg Jennings are out there. So depending on if you need speed or possession type guys, there's some big names out there. On the offensive line, got Jake Long, tackle out of Miami. He's an interesting one to keep an eye on, see where he lands. Are his injuries all cleaned up? Some defensive linemen out there. Cliff Averill, another Lion. Pretty solid player, good pass rush. Dwight Freeney and OCU Manure are out there. as well. Some guys getting a little up there in age also. And then a couple of corners that caught my attention. Tlaib really played solid for New England. I think that was a good opportunity for him to show that he's got his act together. And then Rogers Cromartie, another playmaker. So there's definitely some free agents floating around out there that teams could make a move on. So it'll be interesting as we move through the offseason and see who else gets cut. It's always interesting to see those big surprise ones that no one expects. Maybe somebody pulls off an interesting trade. Now that we have this rookie wage scale, I think it really makes the draft even more exciting. Teams are much more willing to move around because they know what they're going to be paying at these slots. They're not going to have to pay some huge $50 million guaranteed contract and end up with some bust at quarterback and really set their franchise back several years. So that's definitely a plus, and we'll get teams moving more come draft time, especially this year. You know, we'll get into the draft here in a little bit, but, you know, there's really that lack of a number one can't-miss prospect like we had last year in Andrew Luck, and even there was some debate with Luck and RG3 last year. Those guys were head and shoulders above everybody else, and this year, you know, depending on who you talk to, I think you'll see a different number one pick. The Chiefs have the position, and I think if they could, they'd trade out of it, but nobody's going to trade up for them because they don't know who's going to be available. And you've got, you know, quite a few defensive players available out there at the top of the list. Joko, the tackle's out there. Really the only quarterback that's got a first-round resume is Geno Smith. And we'll dive into that a little bit more on the show. But, it'll be interesting as we move towards the draft what happens, that's for sure. And it's definitely an exciting time for the rest of us that have been kind of waiting around as our teams lost out on the playoffs. So if you'd like to call in, the number again is 323-927-2906. And you're listening to Football Extra Points on RF Sports Radio. We're going to be joined here in a little bit with the creators of iDraft, a way to get those of us that are interested in the draft and our teams kind of another dimension to it. So I think that'll be a great conversation for us here in a little bit. So back to the top end of the draft, you know, with the lack of a clear-cut number one, that really takes away from the Chiefs' ability to do much as far as trades, and I think that's going to be not really stick them with having to make a selection. Obviously, they're going to get a good, solid player that's going to help their team, but they're not going to get the difference maker that teams like Indianapolis and Washington were able to walk away with last year. But still definitely some solid talent that they can pick up that'll help them out in the long run. So we'll see what Andy Reid and his philosophy is as he evaluates talent. At some point, either through free agency or the draft, they've got to land a quarterback. I mean, they have one of the worst quarterback situations in the league, and it was pretty interesting to watch their quarterback play last year. So we'll see which direction they go there. But I've seen several of these draft boards. I mean, if you look at the top end of the draft, you've got the tackle out of A&M, Joko. You've got defensive end, Jarvis Jones out of Georgia. The tackle out of Utah. I'm not even going to try the last name, Star. Demonte Moore, defensive end. Bjorn Werner, defensive end. So we've got a lot of defensive players up there, and I would say you're looking at Joko, Jones, even Starr, maybe Moore, and Werner, all as possibilities as the number one pick. I really just don't see Geno Smith jumping up to the top spot. I think he would have to just completely wow teams at the combine, and even more so at his pro day. You know, there's plenty of tape on him out there. Early in the season, West Virginia was putting up these crazy numbers, and they really just fell off the map there. So I think that hurt his status. And the name I haven't mentioned much, and surprisingly, is Matt Barkley. You know, heading into this season, I called for him to be a Heisman Trophy candidate, Heisman Trophy winner, and at the top of the draft. And in a quarterback week draft, this was a perfect opportunity for him to claim that number one overall pick in the draft, and he just disappointed. And whatever happened there to him in the bowl situation was a disappointment. So his career really had a rough go when you consider the probation that he was against and not being able to participate in bowl games early in his career, and then just to end on that kind of down note is unfortunate for him and prevented him from really making a statement and taking control. Some other highlights here. I've got my big board. If you go out to my site, footballextrapoints.com, and search big board, I've got my draft big board up. I've got the top 119 players ranked, and I use kind of an aggregate method where I aggregate draft boards and information and gather as much as I can and then average out to come up with this big master draft board that aggregates data from all over several different locations. So it's a good way for me to really dive into the draft and see who's out there and pull from a big group of information. So it gives me a picture of the top players coming out. Another interesting name on my board, Manti Te'o. I've got him 10th overall. And when we go through my full mock draft, I've also got two rounds of a mock draft out on my site. I'll tell you where he lands. But what stands out for me is his play in the national championship. Alabama has had one of the best offensive lines, you know, probably in college football history. You're going to see a lot of these guys drafted this year and the next couple of years as they come out. And he just got swallowed up in that game and really disappeared. And I think that's a sign of things to come for him in the NFL. So while he gets a high grade and everybody's high on him, I think he's going to disappear when he gets into the NFL. So kind of an interesting story, but he's going to fade away pretty quick. I mentioned Matt Barkley. I've got him 32 on the big board. A lot of defensive players early on in tackle. So this is really a time when your teams, as they go into the draft, are going to build the foundation. You know, Chance Warmack, guard out of Alabama. He's not a quarterback. He's not a real sexy pick. But just ask San Francisco and Baltimore fans how important it is to have a solid offensive line. And you're going to see, I know me personally as a Lions fan, I'd love to see them solidify their offensive and defensive lines. And they obviously need some corner help, but I won't get off on a sidetrack there too much. But we've got a lot of these solid, good playmaking tackles mixed in here on the top of the board. And then as you move down, one thing I also noticed as I put this board together is how much the running back position has disappeared in the NFL. You know, it's been apparent in the league the last couple of years, and again, fantasy football is a huge activity, and people are noticing that running backs are harder and harder to find that feature back. Teams are running less of a feature back offense, and you know, as evidence on the draft board, we've got Giovanni Bernard, we've got Le'Veon Bell, and we've got Eddie Lacy as sort of those big playmaking running backs. And Eddie Lacy probably has a chance of jumping into the first round, but you know, these guys are rated in the mid to late 30s, even in the 40s. And it's just amazing how much the NFL has changed and how these guys, these feature running backs, the colleges aren't even running the feature back offenses anymore. So they're really getting shuffled back and you know, thought of as, okay, who's the specialist, who's the speed back, who's the hands back, who can who's the every down back, which there's just even less of those. And you know, it's really unfortunate for the Chiefs sitting there at the top of the draft. As I'm sitting here in Columbia, right down the street is Jadeveon Clowney. And those of you that didn't know who he was got quite a introduction to him in that bowl game when he almost killed the running back from Michigan. And that guy is quite a special player. And as a true sophomore, he's got a return. And I've got a little bit more on that situation towards the end of the show. But, you know, he's going back. His teammate, Marcus Lattimore, went back after a knee injury, got another knee injury. You never want to see a guy like that get injured. But, you know, his choices are limited. He can't challenge the NFL. That's already been tried and lost. And his only option at this point would be to sit out the season. And I think teams would probably question that. But, you know, it's unfortunate for him that being a true sophomore, he's got to return. So I know here in Columbia, we're all hoping the best for him and that he continues to work out and obviously come back even bigger and stronger, because he's, unless something big changes, he's pretty much solidified himself as the number one overall pick, which is quite an amazing feat. And there's already talk of him as a Heisman candidate. So could he be the first true defensive player to win the Heisman? And, you know, by getting hype this early on, get his name in that discussion at the start of the season, get plenty of press on him throughout the season, I could definitely see him getting invited to New York, and I think that would be really outstanding to see him pick up the trophy. This past year looked like Teo might pick up the trophy. And, you know, yes, a defensive player has never won, but, you know, several years ago, a sophomore had never won. Well, Tebow broke that. And then just this last year, a freshman had never won, and Johnny Manziel broke that. So I think we're primed for a defensive player to pick up that Heisman Trophy, and Jadeveon Clowney is definitely the one to do that. So he's definitely at the top of the 2014 draft board, that's for sure. Hopefully the Lions aren't there. Hopefully your teams aren't there. But if they are, you're going to get an amazing playmaker. So let's go ahead and keep diving in here to the draft board. You know, as we getting closer to the draft, experts are out there. Scouts are out there, different services are out there putting together their top draft board. And like I mentioned, we're really thin at the running back position in the draft this year, and that's you know, a reflection of the team and the league. So, you know, as you're looking at your team and I understanding what your team's needs are, I'd be interested to know where you think they're going to head in the draft. If you want to join the conversation, the number here is 323-927-2906. And, you know, let me know where your team should go in the draft, what direction you need. You need a offensive lineman, defense. You know, we're real light in quarterback this year. I mentioned Geno Smith out of West Virginia. You've got Matt Barkley. You've also got Glennon, QB out of NC State. And really, that's about it. And these guys are scraping the first round, maybe second round. It'll be interesting to see what teams do and what direction they go at the quarterback spot. So we've got our big board out on the site, footballextrapoints.com. Let's go ahead and dive in now. I've completed a two-round draft. I'm not going to spend too much on that, on the second round right now. But I will kind of leave this hint out there that I've got a quarterback going first pick in the second round. So we'll see. We'll touch on that here in a later week. But at the bottom of the draft, the Super Bowl champion Ravens, I've got them taking Lane Johnson, tackle out of Oklahoma. I know McKinney, I think, is a free agent, unrestricted free agent. They made some changes to their offensive line there to head into the playoffs, and it really worked out well for them. And that's great, but, you know, they need to get some youth in there and solidify things going forward. But that's going to be a good pick for them, hopefully, and they can build on that going forward. 49ers, got them solidifying their defense with Eric Reed, free safety out of LSU. I think they've got a priority on their defense. Their front seven, especially their linebacking core, is probably the best in the league. They'll get some more strength there on the back end at the free safety position. For the Falcons, I'm assuming that Gonzalez is definitely retiring. So I'm going to go for Tyler Eifert, tight end out of Notre Dame. Get somebody in there right away to replace him. They've also got needs at defensive end for a pass rush. But I think at this spot, they've got a tight end sitting there, and they could use one, so I think they're going to gobble them up and go forward there. But wouldn't be surprised if they did something at the defensive end position. Patriots, I've got them taking Justin Hunter, wide receiver out of Tennessee, and that's based on, you know, Wes Welker's contract situation. I'm not really sure where they're going to go there. Brandon Lloyd's been a disappointment. Patriots haven't had a receiver since Randy Moss, and before that they didn't have one at all. Patriots probably won't take a wide receiver in the first round, but, you know, he's out there, he's available, and he'd be a good addition to that team. So it'd be interesting to see what they do there. Broncos, 28. I've got them taking Xavier Rhodes, a cornerback out of Florida State, building on that defense for the Broncos and help balance out things for Peyton Manning. Obviously, they had a little bit of a secondary glitch against the Ravens that cost them the game. Excuse me. And if they make that play, you know, the Ravens aren't in the Super Bowl and aren't the champion, so it's definitely an interesting kind of turn of events. Texans at 27. I've got another cornerback coming off the board, Jonathan Banks, cornerback out of Mississippi State, help out the defense on that side. The Texans really fell apart last half of last season. Got a good pass rush, good running back, obviously, in Foster, wide receiver, quarterback. Strengthening the back end of the defense, I think, would be good. The Packers at 26, I've got them taking Alex Okafor, defensive end out of Texas. And this is my current draft. I actually had them taking Eddie Lacy in a previous draft, mock draft that I did, but I shifted that pick to more of a pass rush for him, give him somebody that can rush the quarterback. But I wouldn't be surprised if we saw our first running back coming off the board here at the bottom half of the first round at 26. At 25, the Seahawks, who, you know, definitely proved me wrong last year with the way they played. I was one on Twitter questioning their draft status when they took their pass rusher out of West Virginia last year in the first round. I dropped his name off the top of my head, but when they picked him early in the draft, I was just asking, you know, what are these guys doing? And they proved me wrong. So we'll see about that. And you know, I've got them taking Terrence Williams, the wide receiver out of Baylor, giving Russell Wilson another threat on the outside, and giving them some more receivers. For the Colts, I've got them taking Floyd, the defensive tackle out of Florida. They need to shore up their defense for sure, and this will be another player to help them out. At 23, of the Vikings. Looks like Percy Harvin, I saw earlier that he was going to hold out, you know, hold out or not play. I mean, the guy can't stay on the field. He has the migraine situation, which I know from personal experience is something that's very hard to deal with. So I don't want to make light of that, but the guy just can't stay on the field, and now he's going to hold out for a bigger contract. I think Vikings need to move on from him. I've got them taking Patterson, the wide receiver out of Tennessee. I think that's a good pick for them. They definitely need to get some help. Ponder played well at times last year, and that's great for him. I'm not really sold on him as a full-time NFL quarterback, but that's okay. If they keep winning games, they keep winning games. So that's great news for them. So that's our first look at the draft there, the bottom 10 or so picks. If you want to join the conversation, the number is 323-927-2906. You're listening to Football Extra Points on RS Sports Radio. I'm your host, Scott King. We're dissecting the draft here, an early look a couple months out. So I just went through the first 10 or so picks, got up to the Vikings there at 23. And at 22, we've got the Rams picking. I've got them taking Vaccaro, the free safety out of Texas, to help shore up that defense. Jeff Fisher, who talked to Rob Ryan a little bit about coming on board as a D coordinator, but that fell through. But that team definitely needs some help on defense. Bengals, I've got them taking Ogletree, the linebacker from Georgia. Maluga is a free agent this year, so I think they're going to move on from him and see what they can get, bring in for some youth. The Bears at 20, I don't think there's any shock what their biggest need is. Anybody that follows the game knows what the Bears need, and that's offensive line help, and I've got them taking DJ Fluker, the tackle out of Alabama. Here's another one of these Alabama players, offensive linemen. I've got a couple of these guys on the big board who just gobbled up Manti Te'o in the championship game. So that was huge for them. 19, the Giants. I've got them taking the D end out of BYU. Ezekiel, he's going to be able to come in there and make some plays for them and get some pressure on the quarterback. So that's a good pickup for that team. And then we've got the Cowboys here at 18. I posted my mock draft up for Cowboys fans today on my site and kind of asked the question, you know, where's Jerry Jones going to take them and this whole GM owner situation that they're in. And this is, you know, this is a situation where this team has been a 500 club here for a while. Some people question Tony Romo. I actually think he's a good quarterback. I think if you look around the league, you can see some bad quarterback play. And Tony Romo is definitely not one of those guys. That he makes some bonehead throws here and there, but he definitely can play quarterback in this league. So I've got him taking Sam Montgomery, DN linebacker out of LSU, help them get some pressure on the quarterback. I think they were the 24th ranked defense in the league last year. They've got to be able to get some pressure on the quarterback, and I think that'll be a good situation for them and be able to help them out. At 17, I've got Eric Fisher, tackle out of Central Michigan, going to the Steelers. I think the Steelers need to solidify their offensive line. I think their offensive line play and their running back situation really hurt them and didn't help them heading into the postseason this year and missing out. So they need to get their offensive line situation straight. At 16, Sheldon Richardson, tackle out of Missouri, heading to the Rams. Again, some more defense, and that'll really help Jeff Fisher and those guys get things solidified. And then the last pick I'm going to look at tonight here at number 15, the Saints. They had a historically terrible, ridiculous defense this year. They now have Rob Ryan in as defensive coordinator. So I've got him staying with defense and going Deion Jordan, linebacker out of Oregon. So that's a look there at the first half or so, the bottom half, actually, of the draft. I'll hold off on the second half of the draft for next week. You know, I think I mentioned last week or the week before, all mock drafts have one thing in common, and that's the fact that none of them are right, and none of them are how things are going to pan out the night of the draft. But what I tell people when they ask me, why do you do them, and what's the point in looking at them? You know, the point is to see, one, where players are landing, so you know who's going to be available around where your team picks, where players are going. And it's not all about talent. If it was just about lining up the top 32 players and just assigning them to teams, then that's what would happen. But team needs really drive things. I mean, look at the top of the draft. You've got the Chiefs right at the top of the draft. They need a quarterback desperately. do they overvalue Geno Smith and take him as the number one overall pick? I mean, look at the difference the year makes. Last year, we're talking about Andrew Luck as the number one quarterback, the next coming of John Elway, and RG3 makes a push to get himself up a close second. And now, a year later, you know, are the Chiefs going to push Geno Smith up to the top spot in the draft? And is some other team going to pull Matt Barkley up into the first round? And Mike Glennon, are they going to get pulled up? And, you know, it's just amazing how things go in cycles. And it may be a few more years before we see another guy like Andrew Luck, you know, 20 years down the road. But, you know, team needs really drive the draft. And that's, you've got to look at that when you're looking at where your team's picking, that who's above you, what are their needs, what's going to disappear. So, I do like these drafts for what they are, and it gives fans a chance to really understand what direction their team's heading. So that's really a look there, an early look at the draft, the big board, and the first sort of half of the draft. So really interested to see how these pro days work out and who ends up getting released on teams and how they help teams fill out. And over the next several weeks, finalizing some guests for some different teams, working on someone to cover the Dolphins to come on, the Bears also. So going to have some writers and some people that cover the teams out there coming on and talking about their teams and what they do and how things are going. So if you want to join the conversation and let me know what direction your team's going, you can call in. You're listening to Football Extra Points. The number is 323-927-2906. And just going through the bottom half of the draft, we'll be talking about the top half of the draft next week, heading up to the Chiefs. I've released my second mock draft of the season, and this one is two rounds. So I'm going to be working on the third round, and that's probably about as deep as I'm going to go for now until we get a little bit closer to the draft. And then, you know, obviously we have the draft. The NFL made a great decision moving this thing to Thursday in primetime. I remember just a few years ago and several years before that, spending all day Saturday and Sunday watching the draft. And I think it's interesting now that they've moved it to Thursday and Friday with the early rounds, but I think it helps out teams that struggle a little bit more with the draft. If you know you're only making the first-round pick, then you can recover. When they used to have multiple rounds on the same day, I think it really put pressure on teams. So, but, you know, they moved it to prime time, gets more publicity, gets it to stand alone, and it's really building a following. So that's great. So for those of you that are Cowboys fans, I had several comments today about what direction they're going and where their team's headed. So some thoughts on Jerry Jones, which is always interesting. So they're Cowboys fans and Steelers fans are some of the most vocal out there, along with Eagles and everybody else. I mean, everyone thinks their team's the best, which is true when you follow these guys and these teams as much as we do as fans. It's hard not to think you're part of, feel like you're part of the organization, especially when you're pumping money to them and tickets and memorabilia and gear and stuff like that. So that's kind of an early look on the draft. I'm going to be heading to my extra point now for this week and touched on a little bit earlier, and that's the difference between college football and college basketball, with players leaving early in basketball and able to having to stay in for college football. You know, several years ago in basketball, we had players jumping straight from high school to the pros, and some of them, like KG and Kobe and LeBron, are able to step in and do a good job. But, you know, there's so many more that were just busts. And they've gone back now in basketball and added this one-year, one-and-done situation, and it helps out a little bit. And I won't get too much into college basketball here, but it's kind of struggling, I think, at this point with some stars. But college football, you know, these guys have to stay, and they have to be the third year out of high school. Jadeveon Clowney is kind of the latest example of that situation. Several years ago, we had Larry Fitzgerald challenged it and was actually successful. He had a year of boarding school Mike Williams, the wide receiver out of USC, was unsuccessful in his challenge. And the running back out of Ohio State, the year they won the championship, was unsuccessful, and those guys' career just tanked. So while you don't like to see guys held back and having to wait to go into the NFL, there really is a benefit, because when these guys come out, as long as they can stay healthy, they're so much more mature as a football player and as a person and physically developed that it really helps them step in and be successful right away. And you look at guys like Andrew Luck and Russell Wilson and RG3 who were in college and were successful starters for years and are able to come in and be successful in the NFL. You know, it's almost absurd to think about a high school player coming out and going directly into the NFL. I mean, it's almost laughable if you were to think about that, or even a one-and-done situation. You look at a Mark Sanchez who came out as a redshirt sophomore, and he didn't really have that much playing time under his belt, and he hasn't been that successful. And you look at a kid like Matt Barkley, who I think signed with USC when he was 14 or 15 or something, and was the next coming, and probably would have been a top five draft pick if you had these same rules, and he would have bombed. And, you know, I think it's great that the NFL does this. You know, I hear the argument that, well, guys, if they can be able to play and do this, they should go right away. There's requirements for all kinds of jobs. You have to have a degree to have certain jobs, even if you have the experience to do the job, you just don't have the degree. And those things happen, and that's the rule. So hopefully the NFL sticks with it. I think it keeps the NFL game solid. I think it keeps the college game solid. And unfortunately, here and there, you'll get an injury to a guy coming back like Sam Bradford a couple years ago, and Lattimore this year trying to come back from a knee, gets another knee injury. But overall, I think it's best for the game. So you've been listening to Football Extra Points. I'm your host, Scott King, and we've been breaking down the draft. We'll be continuing that over the next few weeks, and we'll be having some guests on to talk about different teams and hopefully get your guys' thoughts on it. So thanks for joining us tonight, and we'll be back next week. Thank you.